Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock On Nation podcast show. Oh, listening to that Knock On Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of Knock On Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton.
Hi.
Hi. And that's,
hey, how are you?
That's Josh Rhubarb Brown.
Hey, guys.
Josh, do you realize this is the first time the three of us have, like, started a show together all at the same time in, like, five episodes?
Wow.
It's kind of crazy.
Almost, because they can't tell, but we can't see JT right now.
Yes, but we're actually on the call together, at least.
We
can at least all be here.
Yeah, I wish I could figure it out, because I want to see you guys, but I don't know what's wrong with it. So
I think this is JT's way of
hiding. We'll take the next best thing. Oh, yeah, what if he is? What if he got, like, a face tattoo?
Oh, did you get like a Mike Tyson?
What if I'm drinking and I don't want you guys to know?
Ah, yes, yes. Do we need to plan an intervention, JT?
I'm actually drinking sweet tea. It's good.
Yes, wife, I'm using your computer. There we go. Anyway.
Come on, Cynthia.
So, yeah, she was texting me to find out if I was using her computer. Well, it was sitting down here, so yes, I was. So anyway, hey, fellas, it's summertime. Did you notice?
Yeah, it's hot.
I caught Josh mid-yawn. You got to love that.
Sorry, guys. It's hot. Yeah.
How hot is hot for you, Josh?
80. It hit 80 degrees today, and I about died.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. Take off the flannels and jeans, and you'll be okay.
Yo, bro, I'm wearing a t-shirt, okay?
That's just chest hair,
JT. You post these pictures, and
you're wearing
boots and like a flannel and jeans, and I'm like, no wonder you're hot.
You are full of poo, okay? I am not wearing those things, nor have I posted pictures of me wearing those things in a minute.
I enjoy the heat. I like it. It's my favorite.
The heat is on. There we go again, JT.
No, we're not doing that again.
Oh, come on. Come on. Josh, did you listen to me and JT go off the rails on 80s movies last week? You probably didn't, did you?
Guys, I did not. I didn't listen.
I sat through an hour and 15 minutes of you talking to your cousin about sitting in the woods with a Sasquatch.
Oh, man. I feel terrible that you listened to that.
But Josh records it for our listeners, but he feels bad that JT listened. Wow. Well,
I'm sorry, listeners. I feel bad for all of our listeners. I got corporate Kent for the first, like, 30 minutes, then he kind of lightened up a little bit. But yeah.
Well, I listened because he told me that there was going to be 80s wrestling talk, which me and Kent are completely simpatico on.
Mm-hmm. Right, you guys are.
We even agree about the greatest match of all time. And so I listened to that, and then the Sasquatch talk hooked me. Because I'd been to the Sasquatch museum there in Cherry Log.
He's very knowledgeable.
And
he's legit knowledgeable about Sasquatch.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Like, Kent knows Sasquatch like Ken could talk farming. Like, he's very knowledgeable about Sasquatch.
So, yeah. Okay, this feels like the perfect opportunity for a non-combination draft. Are you ready, fellas?
Oh, God.
Josh, you're up first. JT, you will be second. I'll go last.
I'm not sure what we're drafting.
No prep time or anything. Wow.
No prep time, no heads up. Just on the spot right here.
All right.
Guys, the best, and this is probably not the best word to use, but imaginary conspiracy animals, creatures, whatever, that have ever existed.
Like theories, anything?
Yes. Chupacabras, that sort of thing. Whatever. I'm not going to name all of them because, I don't want to, like, give spoilers or anything. But you know what I'm saying. Like, crazy, wild, theory animals.
I think for me, number one, for me, has to be the Loch Ness Monster.
Ah, nice. Okay.
Because that's just...
You stole mine. That's where I was going
to
go.
That's actually kind of fascinating. I don't think Sasquatch is real, but mm-hmm. I'm kind of a little bit sold on the Loch Ness Monster. Because there's been some very interesting photos taken of that beast. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the one in Vermont?
No.
That's similar to that. Champ. Lake Champlain. Uh-uh. Champ, the monster
I have,
there.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
There's a really cool video of these people fishing, and they see it. And when I went to Vermont, I asked our cab driver about it. And he said that they actually had found a species of eel that doesn't have the hormone that stops the growth.
Oh,
and
wow.
So basically these things would just grow and grow and grow until they die. So that's probably what people were seeing was like this kind of eel-like thing that was like 20 feet long. So,
wow.
Maybe that's what the Loch Ness Monster is. I don't know. I've seen the famous picture of the one, you know, the one that everyone's seen. You know, where it looks like a brontosaurus coming out the water. But are there other ones I'm not familiar with?
I think there's quite a few of them out there. Josh, do you know more about actual video and picture evidence? I know I watched a special on it one time on Discovery.
I didn't know
but
about the Vermont
Discovery
one.
Discovery did this, like, I don't know what to believe. Discovery Channel, when I was a kid, you watched that junk because it was like science, true stuff. Then, like, about, if I remember right, about 10 years ago, give or take, they started showing these weird made-up documentaries about, like, mermaids and
Bigfoot,
giant sharks, and, yeah, like, and I thought...
I forgot
when I
about those.
Watching them,
I forgot about those,
I thought
and
it
they
was
were fake.
Real.
Yeah,
they
I forgot
fake,
about those.
100% fake.
That was the weirdest shit ever.
But they didn't advertise them as being fake. They advertised them like a documentary. Yeah,
I forgot about those. Did you watch those, JT? Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, I know what he's talking about. I remember those, and I used to love those. Remember those magazines you get at the newsstand, like the checkout aisle, like the Weekly World News?
Yeah.
And it was like fake stuff, like Bat Boy.
Yeah, I forgot about those,
I used to want to get those all the time. My mom was like, no, I'm not buying that. That's crap. I'm not spending a dollar.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I forgot about that. It was like this one year, like 10 years ago. It was this thing on Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
And I think
and I remember watching the Megalodon one thinking that it was going to be like a really good documentary talking about the possibility of this giant shark species that once existed still being on Earth. And then like they got into it, I'm like, this is really like world shaking stuff if this is true. And then I like get online and it's like, nope, all made up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I waste my time watching that? All right, so Josh went Loch Ness. JT, you are on the clock, sir.
Man, like, I know I guess I'll take Bigfoot because it's
it's kind of cool.
And I was talking to my wife about this, and I agree with Kent, either it's real or it's the most like well-conceived hoax of all time because this goes back thousands and thousands of years. Mm-hmm. So like either like 100,000 people have decided to just make this up or it's real. And I don't know, like Kent brought up some very good points. And
don't say that.
I think it's really interesting. I want it to be real because how cool is that? You know, like I want to go squatching and have some Bigfoot hit me with acorns because I'm in this camp. That would be awesome. But again, like you can go on YouTube and search Bigfoot videos and you'll fall down a wormhole of a whole bunch of cool stuff. But like, why can't anyone hold a camera still? Like, why can't anybody get anything to focus on these people?
Exactly.
Like
it's
got to be a way.
It's BS.
And I would think with, like, all the trail cams people have.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, the trail cams, right.
Wouldn't you get a Sasquatch on there one time?
I mean,
like,
Sasquatch
just a Bigfoot
would
standing
not,
there eating berries?
Sasquatch would... Like, I'm not smart enough to recognize every trail camera, like, if it's hidden correctly. So, Bigfoot would not be able to either. And you would also think, with all the heat detection stuff that's available today, thermals that you would be able to discover a Bigfoot as well using thermal technology. But I'm sure Kent has reasons that all this wouldn't work, but I'm just saying.
Probably. He'd probably school you. But you know how, you ever,
I mean, I get
somebody,
his point. Like,
yeah.
Like cave drawings of stuff. Like, what do they have to gain from making up the abominable snowman back in the day, you know?
Well, like, quite a bit, actually.
Oh, what, Twitter clout? What were they?
No, but predators that, I mean, think of it this way, JT. Have you ever gone cow tipping or snipe hunting?
Actually, no, I don't think I have.
You haven't? Oh my gosh, when I was in high school, we took some buddies snipe hunting. They'd never been before. If you've never been snipe hunting, you should find a friend and ask them to take you that does know what snipe hunting is. I'm just going to leave it at that. But when you're out there in the dark, and so snipe hunting, Josh, are you familiar with what snipe hunting is?
Nope. Uh-uh.
No, okay. So snipes are these birds that at night, you can find them in the woods, and they will, like, bed down. And if you go out there with a bag, you can actually, if you run fast enough, if you stand still and you're really quiet and then you pounce fast enough, you can get them in a bag, sack them up, but you have to wait. And so what happens is you wait and you get some buddies to go out and kind of, you know, move the bushes and get the snipe to come to you so then you can try to catch them. So anyway, we took a bunch of buddies snipe hunting. And so in the dark at night when you're 16 years old, do you know how many creatures and trees you can turn into, like, evil creatures that are about to eat you? Scariest crap ever. You ever add in a coyote yell?
Yeah.
Right? You add that in. Now imagine having even less knowledge than we do today, going back to caveman times when they're drawing on walls and you hear crazy things in the bushes, you see crazy things in the night. It's easy to turn things into a Sasquatch that was really just Josh Brown without a shirt on. You know what I'm saying? Like, just saying. Maybe you've never seen a gorilla before. Like, if you've never seen a gorilla before and you saw a gorilla, how would you draw him on the wall? He would look just like Sasquatch, right?
I guess so. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't typically see gorillas.
That's true. That's true.
You know.
You guys remember going to the Zoo Atlanta and seeing Willie B?
When y'all Willie B!
Oh, yeah. Willie B. Yeah, I remember when Kudzu was born. It was like a big deal.
Yeah, I remember going in like third grade. I was at All Good Elementary somewhere in Marietta, which then became Lockheed Elementary. I was third grade. We went to Zoo Atlanta, and they – I wonder if it's still there. They had that giant gorilla – viewing area with the giant glass wall. I bet it's probably still there. And you're standing there, and like the zoo lady tells all the kids, and she was very serious. She's like, "Do not make eye contact with the gorillas because they will take that as a threat and they'll get really mad. So you know, just kind of look out there, but don't make eye contact."
So the first thing Josh Brown did was make eye contact. 100%.
Exactly. So I'm standing there, and I'm just like. I'm like obsessed with like making eye contact with Willie B. And I'm like, I'm trying to like, you know, make silly faces at him and stuff, I think. And we finally made eye contact and I don't think he charged the glass or anything, but I don't think he did anything. Maybe he got a little bit perturbed, but I just thought it was cool because I made eye contact with Willie B. Yeah. And then he died. He was like 90.
Yeah. Oh, really? I didn't realize he was that old.
He wasn't really that old. He was more like 40, I think. Wasn't he like 40-something? He was old as shit.
I have no idea. Yeah.
He was an Atlanta staple.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we probably wouldn't be in 2020 condition if it weren't for people killing Harambe. Just saying. Harambe died for 2020. Anyway, I think for me, fellas, I'm going to have to go with the Old Faithful here. And I'm going to have to go with the ghost. Seeing ghosts, like, you know.
Just the ghost? Every ghost? You took every ghost?
Yeah, you said animals. You all said animals. But JT, didn't he say animals? Is ghost an animal?
I said creatures. It's a creature.
It's a, It's a person. It's a, yeah.
Right. I mean, is a Loch Ness monster an animal if it doesn't exist? I don't know. Right?
What's your next pick? The Holy Spirit? Lord Almighty, Kenny. Are you just...
So I'm going with ghosts. Like, have you guys ever seen a ghost?
Not that I know of.
No, I don't think so. I have felt weird things before.
Uh-huh.
There was, okay, so my grandma raised me and we used to go to the beach, Amelia Island, all the time. Yep. And so the first time we went without her, we stayed in the room that she would always rent out.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my uncle were staying on the twin beds in there. And jokingly, I said, "Good night, Grandma," and the light between the two beds cut out.
The lamp, oh my gosh,
cut off. As soon as I said that, and we both were like, "Ah, what the?" I mean, it was on. It just cut off right as I said
that.
When
I was a kid, I remember I went into the basement, like the church that we went to had a basement, and when the lights were totally out, it was pitch black down there, like, and it was like a basement row of classes, so they had like little windows in the classrooms on the side, but like the windows were just about ground level, so even like at night there wasn't a lot of sunlight came in. And so I remember one time, it was probably in the wintertime because it was late during the church mm-hmm. had just ended or something, and I had gone downstairs and all the lights were out, and I swear I remember seeing a ghost at the end of the hallway, or at least I always convinced myself that I had.
Oh wow.
But yeah, it was like white and like this apparition thing, but I'm sure it was because I was like 8 years old. But I'm just saying, right, like,
have y'all ever seen other weird things like
I
that?
I saw two people having sex behind a gas station one time.
That's
when
weird.
I was checking on the couch.
I'm serious.
Saying,
like,
that was weird.
Like, have you ever seen otherworldly things that you can't explain?
My daughter and my cousin have both, the same grandmother, have both explained her in detail that she comes to and speaks with them and visits with them.
Now, I've had weird stuff
My daughter told me that when she was about three.
I've had weird stuff happen, Josh, wow. But like not like I don't think what you're thinking. So
yeah. Yeah, yeah, like weird unexplainable stuff that only like you could explain with, you know, some God, a miracle. You've experienced miracles.
Yes, I have seen that. I've seen a guy.
Yeah, I probably have too.
I've seen a guy with an ACL knee torn out that got mm-hmm. prayed for and instantly ripped the brace off and ran around the church.
That's crazy.
With my own eyes. Like, he had went to the doctor the day before, torn ACL, had the pictures and everything.
Yeah. Wow.
Pretty cool.
I saw a red light once, like through my window. It was weird. I was like 13. Freaked me out.
Were you in a brothel?
No, I was in my bedroom.
Oh.
Was your dad checking on you or your mom?
Nope. Two-story house. My window would have been like 30 feet in the air.
Ah. Nice.
It was bright red light. It freaked me out, man. Freaked me out.
It must have been Roxanne. So for my next and for my next choice.
Well, I was gonna say it real quick.
Yeah.
My couple Mother's Days ago, we had everybody over at my dad's house. And this was, Amelia is seven now, so she's probably three at the time. And we, you know, it was Mother's Day. It was that night. Tuck her into bed. And I was asking, you know, how was Mother's Day? You had fun?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good to see everybody. All the grandmas were there. And I said, yeah, everybody's there. And she said, and Grandma Long was there, which was my great-grandmother that died in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, honey, she wasn't there. She's in heaven. She said, oh, no, she was there. I said, well, what was she? She said she couldn't sit with everybody else. She has to sit on her own, and she can't talk to us. And I was like, huh. And I said, I think you're thinking of Gigi, which is my mom's mom, who was there. She said, no, she's not with Gigi. She has silver hair, and it's short, and she was wearing a sweatshirt that had seashells on it, which, I mean, she literally always wore.
Wow.
Like a pink. And I was like, the hair on my arms. And she said, and that's when she said, she can't come over and sit with us. She has to be on her own, and she can't talk to anybody.
Mm.
But she comes to visit and see me. And my cousin Madison, who now is like 20, back when she was, this about 2007, so about 13 years ago, she was like six or seven, would say the same similar things to her dad.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very weird because I only have, and it's not like I have a picture of her hanging in the house that she could base that on. I don't have any pictures of her in the house or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where she would get that information.
Yeah.
You know, of what she wore often and what she would look like and why she can't sit around everybody else and why she can't speak and those kind of things. But she comes to visit me all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, right? Right?
What?
And just saying it in the most innocent way, like a 3-year-old, you know, just like, yeah, but she comes to see me all the time. You
what?
Know? Like, duh.
That is
you know?
Wild.
Not in a weird way, like, Dad, this freaked me out, but, you know, that's just normal, you know?
That is unreal.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So,
you think like God speaks to children in different ways than he speaks to us?
Oh, I'm sure. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened to a lot of us and we just don't remember it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, well, the Bible is, you know, pretty you know, it's pretty straightforward how it deals with children, you know, and I mean, because who's open to those kind of things? You know, I'll if it happened to me now, I will eventually just become skeptical about it, and I'll reason it away.
Exactly. Like, even if it happened to you.
You know what I mean?
Even if it happened to you, right. and you know it happened to you, you would still disavow it or something. Like, talk.
Or as a kid, would just be like, as a kid, Jesus could hop down on this couch right now and say, "Hi, I'm Jesus." And they'd go, "Hey, I'm Amelia. Nice to meet you."
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, I totally. Wow. And look, if you believe in the Bible, then you got to believe in angels and demons. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think so.
I
believe in angels
and
demons.
Now, I'll
demons.
Tell you this.
Yeah.
I've 100% seen devils manifest before. We were in a prayer group one time, and there was a young lady there, and it was a youth prayer group, and she had been through a lot of things in her life, and so we started praying, and she started kind of manifesting this weird stuff. Like, she wrapped her legs, like, you know, you guys know, like, a metal folding chair, right? Mm-hmm. We were all sitting in metal folding chairs, and she wrapped her legs around the front legs, like twisted her legs around it. Not in some psycho way. I mean, she just, like, had her legs wrapped around it, you know, like twisted up in the leg, in the legs of the chair. And mm-hmm. suddenly the chair rocked back on the back legs and slid backwards about 20 foot across the room. I saw it with my own eyes. It's the craziest thing I've seen. And cast the devil out of her. And she was a totally different human being the rest of the time I ever knew her. It's crazy stuff. I've seen that happen. Not that exact thing, but I've seen similar things happen several times. And it's pretty wild because there was nothing to make the chair move. You know, it wasn't like she literally had her legs wrapped around the front legs of it. So there was nothing else that could make the chair move, you know. Kind of cool and scary and also really affirming of your faith to see some stuff like that, you know, in your life and that kind of thing. Freak a lot of people out though. So for my next one, going back to probably imaginary creatures, we went with ghost. I'm going to go with, see, now this is where I don't know. I'm going to ask for a ruling from you two guys as to whether or not I can use this. Okay.
Oh God.
Vampires.
Go there. Here it comes.
Vampires. Oh, can I do vampires?
I guess,
I mean,
so.
Is there any urban legend that they're real? I mean, does anyone say, like people were fighting that Bigfoot and, you know, people will vouch for Loch Ness. So are people vouching that vampires are real? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe not. So maybe I need to take that one off.
Other than weirdos that just put in the fake teeth and want to be vampires.
That's true. Those
I don't know, I mean,
historically, I mean, they're all like Dracula is based on a real guy.
Like Vlad the Impaler was, like, a real dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, okay. All right. Well, if I'm not allowed to use it, I'll do something different.
You can. I mean, vampires are cool. I don't know if they're an urban legend.
That's okay. Cause... How about Wendigos? Do you guys know what a Wendigo is?
I feel like you're making stuff up now, Kenny.
Josh, you've never... I figured Josh knew about Wendigos. Okay. So a Wendigo is a werewolf-like creature. Werewolf might be another name. It kind of depends on. But Wendigos, did either of you guys ever watch the Hannibal series on NBC when they came out with it? It was really good. In it, Hannibal's represented by a Wendigo is the reason I say it. But it's like a humanoid-looking character that has like elk antlers over his head. Type it in. Wendigo.
Okay. Okay.
I want to see what how Josh responds when he sees a Wendigo. W-E-N-D-I-G-O. Yeah. Wendigo.
Oh, I've seen these guys before. Yeah.
In the, did you see them in Boone?
Kind of like, I mean, I do know a guy that,
you know, a guy
hangs out at Espresso News and knits scarves. But anyways, it's like a demonic deer?
Sort of, yeah, yeah. It's actually an Indian legend, kind of one of their...
oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to I'm a go fan. Wendigo. They are very cool looking.
Okay.
All right, so I've got cool. Ghost, Wendigo. Back to you, Joshua.
I'm going to go with the old trusty, and I feel like I can't believe it's still left on the board, because honestly, guys, I'm just saying, I mean, I think they might be out there, but aliens.
Ah, wow. I thought we got proof that there were aliens earlier this year, like flying around in space, like unidentified UFOs. You remember that? Like,
oh, yeah, that happened, and then COVID or something.
Yeah, in the middle of COVID, and no one cared about the aliens because we were all worried about being trapped in our house.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I will say this. I've been to Roswell, New Mexico.
Why am I not surprised at all? Like, Josh says, I've been somewhere, and I'm not surprised somehow.
Here's how I love trying to explain a Roswell, New Mexico, if you've never been there. Imagine going to Cedartown, Georgia. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or just any just dead Georgia town. And in the middle of town, there's a UFO museum.
Okay.
And by that, I mean like air quotes museum. And you walk into the museum and it's almost like seventh grade science fair level stuff, like on the wall, like cardboard, you know, cutouts with newspaper clippings from the 40s, you know.
Like
that's basically the museum. And then you're walking around and then you see behind this glass case with a light shining down on it. you see this alien made out of like paper mache.
Nice.
with like a little card underneath it, you know, with kind of explaining it, you know, based on everything we know, this is what we think it looked like, you know.
Is it weird that we always picture aliens pretty much the same way as humans? Like, does that confirm that they're probably real in some weird way?
Well, I mean, the traditional alien that started like in the 50s is like, you know, giant head with these big, huge, weird looking eyes. So that's the alien look, yeah. Like skinny body, like kind of like E.T., but a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
a little more
look.
Upward head than E.T., but yeah, yeah, I gotcha.
Right, right.
All right. Back to you, JT.
I kind of, this chupacabra thing is weird, man.
It is.
I've even heard some pretty, like, respectable people have claimed, like the former, like, governor of Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Has claimed to have, like, not like your average loon from the backwoods, but like somebody, like, you know, like, of, you know, a pretty publicly known figure coming out. It's always weird when they claim to have seen, you know, stuff like that. But here's what I don't get. They have sightings like Puerto Rico and also like Texas. And I'm like, well, how can it be, you know, if it's in Puerto Rico, was it swimming over to Texas? Like, how did this happen? You know? And sometimes I think they're just coyotes.
They're sick coyotes, 100%. Sick coyotes, yeah.
But, like, finding your livestock drained of blood, like from a vampire... Well, that's weird. Like,
true.
I don't know, man. Like, how would that happen? Like, there's no other animal that's gonna like suck the blood out of a cow.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Makes sense. Unless there's actually vampires, which y'all told me I couldn't use. So I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, whatever. You can use them if you want, but I don't know. I see some pictures online, and they look like mangy coyotes.
Yeah, pretty much. I think, like, there was a time when chupacabra did not look so much like mangy coyote. In recent years, I think they've kind of evolved more to that. But early on, Chupacabra was more like, what's the word to describe it? Like bear wolf, you know, like it was a lot bigger feeling. And I said bear wolf, not werewolf, as much as like it was kind of like this bear crossed with a wolf sort of thing, you know. So I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. All right, JT, last selection here.
Trying to think of a good one. Okay, so Lake Lanier in Georgia. Like, a lot of people die in Lake Lanier. Like, that's pretty well known. But apparently, when they made Lake Lanier, they basically, it's built over a graveyard.
Oh.
So, wow. Yeah, they decided to, so here's, I'm reading this here right now. It says, the government and their determination to create Lake Lanier bought up entire towns in order to clear the space for the lake after they received congressional approval in 1946. However, they just decided to let the water cover up the towns rather than demolishing them.
Nice.
And they did that with Lake Hartwell, too.
They did that with Lake Hartwell,
eerie feel about it. There have been an unusual amount of freak accidents and deaths on the lake. It goes back to 2011. There were 17 deaths alone, and it does seem like... we get like an incredible amount of accidents and deaths that happen on Lake Lanier. People have reported feeling arms and legs in the water.
What?
Yeah, Lake Hartwell's supposedly got the same legend behind it. My dad actually remembers. He remembered when they made Lake Hartwell, and there were families that refused to move out of the floodplain that supposedly actually drowned. When they flooded it, like the cops had gone in and told them, hey, we're going to flood this. You're going to lose everything. Wow. And people were like, well, we're going to stay here. And sure enough, it like flooded them. And yeah, crazy, crazy stuff. All right. So,
yeah. So they had to dig up a bunch of graves, a bunch of unmarked graves when they made Lake Lanier. And yeah. So,
nice.
So there you go.
Okay. Okay.
So, since this is from CBS, this is a local CBS 46 affiliate. Since Lake Lanier was built in 1956, experts say 675 people have died in the waters.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot.
And that's from an article in 2017. So, yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, okay. Not going there.
Wow.
I don't know if I have another one. I've been trying to think of it, but I don't know.
So Lake Hartwell tops South Carolina's list of deadly lakes by a landslide. Since 1993, 111 people have lost their lives on the waters of Lake Hartwell.
That's a lot of people, man.
In comparison, Lake Kiawee has only had 36 fatalities. Now, this was posted in 2018, so those numbers are actually higher now. But, yeah, I can't find, like, an all-time number for Hartwell. That's what I was trying to see. But, yeah. Kind of crazy. All right, Josh. Last pick.
I don't know. I don't know. Aliens are my number one thing. I would have probably picked ghosts because I think I believe in the supernatural. You know what? I'm going to pick angels. Can I pick angels?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, I know we kind of mentioned them.
I think it depends like on your definition of angel, because that's a very wide net.
Right. Some people call them California. Some is Los Angeles. I mean, it's a whole bunch of convoluted names.
Right. I believe in angels and demons.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I've seen the book. So. It's called Angels and Demons.
Oh, that's really? A book by Dan. What's his name, right?
Dan Brown.
Yeah.
Da Vinci Code guy.
Oh, yeah. The Da Vinci Code guy.
Yeah. But I believe in actual angels and demons too. So, yeah.
Yeah, I do too. But I don't know if I believe. I don't know if, like, I've ever seen somebody and they're an angel, but sometimes I wonder.
I bet you have.
I mean, Alabama told us that there's angels among us, right?
Can I tell you one time when I was in, I just graduated college.
That was the Newsboys.
I had, yes, they were entertaining angels. I oh, just Alabama graduated college.
Oh, Alabama. Yeah, sometimes sorry, there are
Angels Among Us. Yeah. That was Angels Among Us, right, or Alabama. Yeah. Newsboys was entertaining angels.
That's right. I get those two bands confused.
I was buying groceries at the gas station, which was just, you know, like I'm buying like Pop Tarts.
Wait, what?
Because I had finished. I bought Pop Tarts and something else. Well, yeah, but I was doing it because I just finished college. I didn't have a job yet, and basically I was just coasting on like the $300 I'd gotten for graduation, and like I didn't have a job.
Nice.
And pretty much the next month, my mom was like, "Hey, you're moving home because you're out of money."
A gas station's a terrible place to shop if you're trying to save money.
It's actually more expensive. I was spending $6. It is, but I was spending like $4. Like, it wasn't much. So, and I walked out, and these people were like, this husband and wife were standing there, and they looked homeless or whatever, and they were like, "Man, that looks good. What you get?" And I was like, "Oh, cinnamon Pop-Tarts." Like, "Man, I used to eat those all the time, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Well, here, y'all take them, you know." Like, "Are you sure?" Well, I was like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." You know, because I was like, worst case, I can always ask my mom to send me $10, you know? Like, I'm poor, but I'm not like, I'll live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Next morning, I checked my bank account, and I had like $300 more in there that did not come. There was no transaction. You know how you can usually see it added into your account? Uh-huh. Like, I could not trace where this money came from. And it showed up in my account.
Nice.
And it was a lot of money at my, like, that time, because I didn't know how I was going to, like, pay the rent next month, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was like, and I can't, still to this day, no one had access to my account. It was just me. I didn't have a spouse. Like, there was nobody else. And, like, my mom couldn't move money into my account. Like, she had to move it to a, you know, if she was going to give me money, I had to pick it from a separate account and move it over. She was the only person that knew even where my bank was.
Sure.
And she lived in another state. My mom was in Atlanta. I was in Jacksonville.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I could not explain how this money got in there. But I was like, all of a sudden I checked and I was like, "Oh, my account's not supposed to say that." You know, like, yeah, sometimes you check your bank account and you're like pleasantly surprised. I'm like, wow, okay. And I looked and it's in there and it doesn't have a transaction linked to it. It's just there.
Wow.
Can't explain it.
Nice.
Cannot explain it to this day, but it happened the next morning after I gave homeless people some Pop-Tarts. And who knows? Maybe those homeless people got those Pop-Tarts and went back up to heaven and reported that I passed the test and God rewarded me with some money. I've got no idea.
That's but funny, man.
I can't explain it.
I
don't know.
I feel like I've got some similar things through the years that have happened to me like that, but I can't think of anything particularly. But yeah, I feel every now and then, like, you'll something will happen. You'll interact with somebody. And you're like, "Man, that was weird. That was too weird."
I feel that way every time I talk to you, Josh. But I definitely don't think you're an angel. You know, just say it. Just to be clear.
No, like,
there's no actual thought process that takes me that direction. Just to be clear. All right. So Josh is going with angels. Okay. Is that back to me? I guess it is. All right. Here's mine. All right. Yeah, leprechauns. We need some leprechauns.
Oh.
Wait, do people actually think leprechauns are real? Is this a thing?
Yes, leprechauns are from a real stories. People really thought leprechauns were real.
But tell me, like, in Ireland right now, like, there's like a leprechaun sighting today in, you know, Dublin.
I don't know if I
want that to be a thing.
I don't know.
Like how we are with Bigfoot.
It was probably people, like, originally like the Irish little people.
Like, I want people to go leprechauning in Ireland, and they hang out in the woods hoping to see like a 2-foot man run by.
No, they want to get a pot of gold, JT, don't you know? No, seriously, though, weren't leprechauns like not necessarily just beacons of good? They were like kind of scary creatures too.
According to the movie Leprechaun.
Well, I'm not talking
yes.
about the movie Leprechaun. I'm talking about like Irish folklore. Weren't they like tricksters? Kind of like the same concept as like what coyotes were to Native Americans, that same sort of trickster role. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong. Yeah. Well, hey, fellas.
They were like liberal politicians. And they promised a pot of gold, but it was a bunch of tricks
oh, man.
To get it. I'm kidding. My grandma's house, we got to do this around Halloween because my grandma's house used to be haunted, and I can collect a whole bunch of stories from her. She'll tell you all sorts of crazy stuff.
Oh, nice.
So I'll have to
Have you guys just ever stuff done like the haunted house tours in Savannah and stuff?
I did one in St. Augustine, did a ghost tour in St. Augustine, which was cool.
We never did it. A bunch of my wife's friends did it. She went to school in Savannah, and a bunch of them did it, but I don't think we ever actually went. At least I don't remember it that we did. The coolest thing I remember about Savannah was going to a dueling piano bar.
Oh yeah, there's a couple of them down there that are fun. There is a place in St. Augustine, one of the cemeteries definitely has a face on one of the graves, and I remember that, and that was really weird. And I think they put in like air conditioning vents to make it really cold. Uh-huh. Because we went in July, and all of a sudden, like, we were walking and just chilly.
Mm-hmm. I remember New Orleans, when we went down there, they had a bunch of ghost tours and stuff. But I've never really been that kind of person. Like, I don't believe in that kind of ghosts. So, it's like, you know, I don't know. I've just never really been hooked on the idea of ghosts. But so, yeah, I guess leprechauns are going to be my... my best thing. Someone said that they want us to do more voices on the show. So, you know, I'm trying to work in my...
There you go.
I don't think they meant for you to do your leprechaun voice.
I think they need...
More leprechaun, Ken.
More leprechaun, okay. JT. I don't know why it became
what the
English
hell was that? Was that like an Australian... Did you see like an Australian
Peter
leprechaun?
Moylan just showed up.
Australian
he went from
leprechaun.
Irish to Australian. Yeah. Yeah, all in a heartbeat there. Oh. So, fellas, since in honor of the fact that baseball is probably not going to get their crap figured out, tell me this. From your memories, and you're welcome to use the internet to dig into this. From your memories, best players from 1994.
Tony Gwynn.
Marquise Grissom from the Expos.
Marquise Grissom. Okay, yeah. He's all right.
The was, whole Expo squad.
Serious question. Was Pedro Martinez Grissom ever really good? Like, I mean, he was good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Was he ever really good? Was
yeah.
He,
oh, dude, he was. I mean, if you watch.
Because when he was
World
a Brave, I don't remember him being, like, elite.
He was the best.
Good.
He was
you know
the best
saying?
Leadoff hitter in baseball for a couple years.
Okay. Yeah. But not as a and Brave, they, right? Like, I'm not.
No, crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Really? 95 Marquise Grissom. And they kind of talked. And they were kind of homers, you know, Pete and
yeah.
Skip, but if you watch the replay of the 91 or the 95 World Series, they were talking about that. They were like, when Lofton was up to bat, they were a couple times during that series. They were like, you know,
Lofton, okay.
Mm-hmm. They were like,
gotcha. Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
They were kind of like talking about how you know Lofton gets a lot of at the time he was
sure.
flashy and was just more popular, but Marquise Grissom's the best leadoff man in baseball. They say, you know.
But see, in 94, Ricky Henderson was still playing. So Ricky Henderson would have been the best leadoff player in baseball.
Let me look at Marquise Grissom.
I don't know. In my mind, Marquise Grissom was always a good Atlanta Brave. Like, I'm not saying he was a bad player, but I never thought of him as elite. But I may be wrong. Like, I was a kid back then. I didn't keep up with stats.
In 96, he hit .308. Never a power guy. With Montreal, he hit 19 homers in 93.
Yeah.
In 94, okay. he hit like 288. He was an all-star, gold glove in 94, and then he won a gold glove in 96 with Atlanta, and he won a gold glove in 95 with Atlanta. He was, for 4 or 5 years, he was the premier, like, center fielder.
Is it? Pretty much impossible for center fielders to become Hall of Famers at this point.
I never really thought about that.
Who was the last center fielder that went in, I wonder?
The last center fielder that went in the Hall of Fame. The last center fielder. Man. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel obvious. Holy crap, did you know Kirby Puckett was a center fielder? Gosh, I don't think of him as a center fielder.
He's kind of pudgy looking, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did he play center of the year? He
made a famous
crap.
Catch against the glass wall.
I totally don't remember him being.
They had that glass wall in the outfield in Minnesota, and he had that famous catch where he robbed a what would have been a homer in another park. I forget who hit it, but yeah.
Okay, so top 10, Ty Cobb, Willie Mays, of course, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle. I'm cool with all these. Tris Speaker, right?
Okay.
Howard Earl Averill. Don't know him. Sir Hugh Duffy. Do you remember him? Yeah, he's an old guy. William Robert Hamilton.
What are you looking at? Jaws or something? Or
no, this is this is just like a base, a Bleacher Report article listing like the top tens or whatever. Yeah. Duke Snider and Kirby Puckett.
But Duke Snider, I don't know if he played center field his entire career, though. Did he? Did the Duke play center? I feel like the Duke was a left fielder. Let me look into this real quick. By the way, bobblehead, Dr. Bobblehead Cody guy found a signed Duke Snider cap at Goodwill. How cool is
that? Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
He's got it verified and everything. Let's see here. Duke Snider splits. Duke Snider's one of those guys, when you look at his numbers, he's one of those guys you're like, why the hell is Fred McGriff not in the Hall of Fame again?
Yeah.
Because he only hit like 407 dingers, you know. He only had 2,100 hits.
According to this, Josh, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, most of his career was center field, but he also played a lot in right field. A lot in right field.
There's only 18 Hall of Fame center fielders.
That's interesting. I never – what about – was Ricky Henderson center fielder?
I don't know. Maybe this isn't right. I don't know.
Did Ricky play center or left field?
I don't know. This is where me being young,
left fielder.
I forget things. Yeah, I forget things. You know.
And what about Ken Griffey Jr.? Is he on there?
No. But Ken Griffey did he go in as a center fielder?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's heralded as one of the best center fielders ever, for sure.
Right.
That'd be like saying, did Greg Maddux go in as a pitcher? I mean, he was very much center fielder.
Okay.
Right. Almost all of his career, I think.
I believe you.
Ichiro could have been a center fielder.
There's 24 all-time center fielders. Here we go. I got it from the Hall. This is from the baseballhall.org. Okay.
Okay.
And so center fielders... We have, let me make sure I get back to the right thing. I didn't realize they had them all stacked here. We got Richie Ashburn, Earl Averill, Cool Papa Bell, Willard Brown, Max Carey, Oscar Charleston, Ty Cobb, Earl Combs, Joe DiMaggio, Larry Doby, Hugh Duffy, Ken Griffey Jr., Billy Hamilton, not the Billy Hamilton everyone knows now, Pete Hill, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, Kirby Puckett, Ed Rausch, Duke Snider, Tris Speaker, Turkey Starnes, Cristobal Torriente, Lloyd Wainer, and Hack Wilson.
So that is fascinating to me. That's fascinating
to me.
Because,
before Ken Griffey Jr., the closest thing was...
Was Mays?
Willard Brown was inducted in 2006.
Was it a post-mortem
kind
of thing?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Oh, okay. I'm sure it was. In 95, Richie Ashburn, but again, that's like an old...
Right.
Yeah, like all these guys are old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Larry Doby. Larry Doby may be like the closest...
So you're telling me between Willie Mays and Ken Griffey Jr., basically there wasn't a Hall of Fame center fielder.
Kirby from Puckett. Kirby Puckett.
Kirby. Okay, Kirby. But
and Kirby, there's a lot Kirby of people argue Kirby doesn't deserve it, but, you know.
No, he deserves it.
I think he does, too.
He had a short career, but his offensive stats were just stupid.
The only other active player that might have been in there, Josh, was, and I don't know the exact timeline, but Duke Snider could have been between those two.
No, Duke played in the 50s.
Okay.
Yeah, Duke played before Willie Mays.
Okay.
He was on those teams.
His picture's in color, and Willie's isn't, so that's the reason I wasn't sure. You know. So.
Yeah, Willie played all the way through the 70s, really. So there really wasn't a badass center fielder from Willie to Kirby.
Is it that there wasn't, or is it that it's hard to go into the Hall of Fame as a center fielder? Like I look at that list right there, and I'm like, Andrew Jones is better than three quarters of that list offensively alone. You know what I'm saying?
Jim Evans.
Don't even add his defense. You know.
Well, think about it this way, guys. But corner outfield for the longest time was a power spot. You know, whereas center field was like, well, let's put a guy he's speed because he can cover a lot. He can run a lot, cover a lot of outfield. But usually that meant, okay, if you have speed, that meant you didn't have power. So, so it was Ricky just that's where Henderson, you put the fastest guy on the team.
So, I mean, I grew up watching Ricky, but this is pre, you know, this is when we just like were nine and we just watched baseball. We didn't really know about defensive metrics, nor do we care. But Ricky Henderson must have had a shitty glove, if you think about it, because he was like the fastest guy in the entire world. And they put him in left field.
Yeah,
I'm sure you could dig up some analysis on that.
Yeah,
you know, it's people have gone out and
bad glove.
Well, people
arm.
Have gone back and reevaluated things. You know that. Well, it used to be you assumed guys were good defensively because they made catches, and people didn't factor in like range
didn't
factor and stuff
errors.
Like that. You know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and now you got guys going back and saying, "Well, Omar Vizquel actually was not that great of a defensive shortstop." You know, like, okay, well, whatever. He's better than most.
Yeah, those people can kiss my ass.
I mean,
that's like
you know the best arm. The best. I want to hear y'all like when you were a kid or growing up or just like ever in your lifetime best outfield arm. I've got mine, and it might.
So like all time
best outfield from like as a kid.
Yeah, or just in your lifetime best arm. Best.
So like this is a little before my time, but Roberto Clemente was always my number one.
Yeah, always. Yeah, I've always heard. Yeah. You know, I didn't watch Clemente, but I always heard his was great. I remember seeing highlights of Bo Jackson. As a 6-7-year-old, watching him make some throws in the outfield. Although his, you know, baseball career was, you know, limited due to injury, but certainly he was athletic in every sense of the word. And he's got a couple throws that he just freaking hosed guys down. But probably didn't have the career. You know, maybe he didn't do it long enough to be like known as a great. You know, outfield arm guy.
Yeah, Willie Stargell was another one that had a cannon. Just
so
just
for me,
destroy people.
I've kind of got two, but my number two is Raul Mondesi. When I was a kid, he would just dude had a freaking cannon.
Yeah,
he
did. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
he was otherworldly. But my number one, and you can't really find video of it. It's weird. You'd think you could, but you can't. The only time I've seen. Since he got done playing, the only time I've seen video is when they did one of those like Fox Sports Brave specials on him. I forget what they call those. But the
Driven?
Yeah, Driven. Yeah. Andrew Jones had a freaking laser that nobody ever talks about.
Okay. I remember watching a game one time where he nailed a dude from the warning track back on first base, I think it was.
Yeah. Let me tell you, the best arm, though, guys, this is the best arm I've ever seen. Jeff Francoeur was good. Andrew Jones, amazing. Best arm, though, that I've ever seen growing up, Josh, with my own two eyes, Rafael Furcal.
He had a vapor trail.
I think JT talked about seeing him in the minors. Didn't you, JT?
He was a shortstop at Macon, and that's right. Yeah, I mean it hummed. It there was an audible hum on the ball from shortstop to first, where everybody's like, it was understood like, oh, he's going to be in Atlanta real soon. This is before you could go and read, you know, your blogs and know like your rankings of the top prospects and yada yada. You know,
yeah.
Like now you can be like, oh yeah, he's the 25th best prospect in the organization based on Baseball
like,
America.
I think
back in the mid-90s, you couldn't do that.
I think Andrelton Simmons is one of the best arms I've ever seen, and Rafael Furcal made him look like he was a joke. You know what I mean? Like
Camargo's up. The Camargo's
got
to be up there.
Camargo's got a cannon. He does. It's a rocket, but just sheer. Power and accuracy, which I don't know, accuracy
right.
is
Furcal,
a little out the window, but Furcal was just, it was like,
Andrelton has a better glove, obviously.
Oh, but by far,
But I think you're right. I think Furcal, I think.
Just from an angry standpoint of just like a hummet.
Yeah, man.
Furcal might put him in the stands, too. Like, you better be paying attention if you're sitting behind first base, but like, he could rocket it.
I'll tell you an outfield arm that y'all haven't mentioned that came around America during our teenage years, and he's phenomenal. And you don't think of this guy being powerful in any respect, but he really is. Is Ichiro? Ichiro's got a cannon. He really does. He was pinpoint too. He didn't throw these like big looping bombs. Mm-hmm. It was a laser. It was on a line from right field to third base, and they would just hum it in there. He was incredible.
You know another one, guys? Andre Dawson had a cannon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I remember his cannon. I mean, I remember growing up and seeing him, and you know, like
I remember seeing him on WGN. He had an arm. Yeah, he had.
But
an arm.
Am I right to say that like nobody ever talks about Andrew Jones's arm? You guys ever hear anybody?
No, they don't.
They really don't at all. I just remember that one play because it was one of those where I'm just like, tell me that has to be a top 10 play of the week, you know, that I just saw.
Yeah.
But it's overshadowed because, and really so much of Andrews is overshadowed by, because of his positioning
and
how well the Braves did in advanced scouting to be able to, and it's so boring to talk about, you know, outfield shading and positioning.
Yeah.
But the Braves did a really good job of that. And so often Andrew made tough catches routine because he was so good at getting that first step on the ball and reading a ball off the bat to where other guys would struggle and have to run and dive. Andrew was there. And so he made it look like,
I mean, his glove
ho-hum routine play.
And I get on my Andrew soapbox like twice a year, you know that, but his glove overshadowed his bat. I mean, the dude hit freaking 50 dingers in what, 04 or something? I mean, the dude,
I think it was three. Yeah. Two or three.
I mean,
somewhere
he was just a freaking, he was a power bat, dude.
Yeah.
More dingers than Mike.
Yeah, I mean, he was another guy we'd go see in Macon, and my dad was like, look, this is the next Willie Mays, and he was 17 years old. And that was 94, 95, somewhere around
little,
there, because he was 19 in 96. Yeah, he had that little dirt mustache.
I remember
and in 96, since he was a teenager still in the World Series hitting homers.
My first memory, Andrew Jones, me and Daddy and my brother Benjamin, we were camping at Red Top Mountain State Park. We used to all... that's where we grew up camping, basically. It was Red Top. We were camping. It was October. And we had the Braves on the radio. And Daddy was schooling us about Andrew Jones. This kid, Andrew Jones, that he'd been reading about in the paper, you know, back when you read the paper. But, yeah, I remember hearing him, I guess, hit a home run that series, maybe. Was it 96? We were camping
out. Yeah, he hit two of them.
Yeah, that's right.
He hit two of them. That's the youngest player, I think, since Mickey Mantle to homer in a World Series. So, still should have. Golly. Going back, they replayed some of those games not too long ago, and it's really hard to watch the 96 World Series and not be how the heck did the Braves not win back-to-back World Series there?
Yeah.
Because that was not the best Yankees team. That was a precursor to the Yankees dynasty. Like, that was not an unbeatable
team.
You're right.
Who do they have? Like, Paul O'Neill? You know, like...
Scott Brocious.
Yeah,
Jimmy Key was, like, their number two starter.
Jim Leyritz. I mean,
Jim Leyritz. Charlie Hayes at third base.
Yeah.
Bunch of some young douchebag at shortstop named Jeter.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Dork.
Yeah. He's not even a good shortstop. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Oh, shut up. I don't even want to go down that road. Stop.
Hey, this has been another fun episode of the Knock 'Em Nation Podcast Show. Thanks for hanging around with us and listening. We're just a bunch of knuckleheads, but we appreciate you hanging out. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/knockemnation. And check out the new shirts. We've got some awesome new shirts that you people need to have. Knock 'Em Trolling Company. We got the Knock 'Em Diving, Knock 'Em Pointers. We got all kinds of stuff. Knock 'Em Slaughterhouse. There's a lot of fun shirts that people should be checking out. You can get those at shop.spreadshirt.com/knockemnation. Get you a shirt. Hang out with us. Hey, fellas, I love you. We'll talk to you next time.
Love you too, buddy.
Love you guys.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/knockahomination. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomination.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @knockahomantn. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.